Okay.
Blog Talk.
Hi, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, The Honoring Hour. Today is Tuesday, April 21st. We're very excited that you've joined us today. We're going to talk about coming off of the Master Cleanse. And this is Lynn. I'm here with my co-host, JR. How are you today, JR?
I'm wonderful, and good morning to everyone, and welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So we have, our last show, we had Tom Wallachin on here with us, and he graciously talked about his experience with the Master Cleanse. He's been doing it for a long time. He shared some of his wisdom. And we had set up to start a cleanse the following Saturday, which was April 11th. And that brings us to today, which if you had started it at that point, today would be the first day off of the cleanse and what all we have to do. So, JR, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what we should be doing today?
Well, what we should be doing is, well, one, we really want to be looking at and reflecting over where we came from, and that would be the eating lifestyle that we came from and what we were raised in and how our bodies were, you know, conditioned by that structure, you know, and where we were at health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he does is he actually lays out a 3 or 4 day plan, and hopefully everyone has Tom's book, because I mean he's really good about laying it out there, so that unfortunately on my first cleanse when I came off of it, I wasn't as kind. I dove into to a cup of coffee, and the thing was I felt that. You know, and my body was telling me, you know what, this is just way too much caffeine too fast.
Right.
So you don't want to dive into, eating, a steak and baked potato meal.
Right, right.
After being really calm and comforting your body and caring for it in the last, mm-hmm. 10 or 12 days, because we actually had people who started the cleanse prior to all of us.
Right, and some of you may have started later, which is absolutely fine. I mean, it wasn't so much that you did the cleanse the same time we did. We just encourage you to try something wonderful like this cleanse to do. So, and if you haven't had a chance to get Tom's book, which is The Complete Master Cleanse, A Step-by-Step Guide to Maximizing the Benefits of a Lemonade Diet, what they do encourage, and even when you can find, I found the PDF for Stanley Burroughs off of the Internet. And what you do for the first couple of days is you drink orange juice and maybe eat an orange, and then you graduate into some other things, but you're keeping it light. And Tom has done an incredible job, I think, of detailing it. And I did have the book the last time we did the cleanse. And what I found is he mentions in here that he's probably dealt with fewer than 20 people who couldn't do the orange juice after the lemonade. And what I found was I was one of them. It wasn't that I didn't do the orange juice. I did it the morning and pretty much the majority of the first day. But my body was just reacting to it so much. I just felt like I was just super sugar high, and it was an uncomfortable feeling. So I had to personally switch to the broth, and I still, at that point, I needed something different. And I actually went to quinoa. And some homemade cranberry juice. Those are my staples when I'm sick or my body's down, and that was really what my body was calling for. And that, for me, was exactly what I needed. I can't say that would be true for everyone, but the whole purpose of doing a cleanse, or part of the purpose of doing a cleanse, I guess I should say, is to understand and get to know your body better. And so I definitely encourage that people really do that and, follow Tom and Stanley's recommendations, and as long as they work for you, go with that. If you find that there's a challenge, then, please follow your intuition and what your body says.
Absolutely. I mean, you really want to, you've been treating your body well. You want to, hopefully you have some type of contemplative time or meditative time that you're you know, you're getting centered and you're listening to your body, and you know, you want to calmly, because, you know, I mean, like Lynn said, you know, day one you're looking at adding juice to your body, and if it's too strong and too acidic, you know, like it is for me, then you're going to want to dilute it, you know, that first day, have diluted orange
mm-hmm.
juice, and then ease into a full glass or two of juice on the second day, you know, and then he gets into, you know, I mean, if you've led, if you're vegetarian, then you would look at lightly, you know, adding in on that third day the vegetable soup. And he has, and actually in the book there's a recipe for a vegetable soup. That, I mean, it's really good. And now myself, you know, it was, you know, soup is a little bland for me, so I had to add to it. But Lynn, you have a really good recipe for soup and going into with that.
What
kind of seasoning did you use?
Well, I went and got some fresh herbs from the grocery store, and I don't remember exactly what was in the mix, and I apologize, I forgot to bring the recipe up with me before the show, but I'll make sure that I've got it on the website, which is www.thehonoringhour.com for anybody that wants to check it out. And what I did was I just took this soup recipe and threw some vegetables in there and boiled it. When I first went to taste it, it just wasn't what I wanted. So I called a friend of mine who is really good with food and has worked with people on food for a long time. She's a psychic nutritionist that we hope to have on the show one day. And she, you know, just told me, she said, you know, put it back on, you know, season it up a little bit more, boil it longer, and, you know, when you're done, just squeeze out the vegetables. Really take them in your hand and squeeze them out. Get all the vitamins and nutrients and liquid out of them, and then toss the vegetable themselves, because they're, at that point, you've boiled the nutrients completely out of them. And I did that. She also suggested that, you know, what she said is that without the fat in the soup, it really kind of, it's harder to hold the flavor in. But just by going back and, you know, boiling it a little bit longer and adding a little bit more seasoning into it, I came up with an incredible flavored broth. And I have to say that it was decent the first day, but I made a ton of it and I froze it. And when I went to use it, I, you know, thawed some out and cooked some quinoa with it later. That was the best broth I've ever used. So I knew ahead. I knew this time to make it ahead of time so that it had more flavor and that I was really enjoying it. Because for me, when I did the cleanse the last time I did it, my taste buds were so alert and aware, but I still wanted something with a lot of flavor. I mean, I wanted to enjoy what I was eating. I didn't want something to be bland, because the lemonade had certainly not been bland. I mean, the lemonade had been very flavorful, so I didn't want to go from that good, delicious lemonade to a humdrum, dull soup. So I will definitely share that recipe on the website so that everyone can benefit. And I'd love for people that have some good homemade vegetable stock recipes to write in or call in and share them with us, because, you know, we're always looking for some good homemade stuff around here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one myth we really need to knock out of the way, is that, you know, eating healthier does not mean that we have to sacrifice.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
You know, Lynn, I'd like to step back for a minute before we move forward and hit on, go back to listening to our bodies. And because we know that we're calling this a 10-day cleanse, but Tom actually talks about looking at the tongue as a barometer for our bodies.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm looking at my tongue today, and it's like now I've got to really look at, because I still have plaque on the back of my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to decide, okay, am I ending my cleanse today, or is this a sign for me to take another, because, you know, he mentions in the book that he looks at, when he goes into a cleanse, that it's a 10-day or a 12-day cleanse, because sometimes it takes the 12 days for, you know, to get the rest, you know, to detox the
mm-hmm.
rest of the way. so, you know, individually we all may be looking at that prior to diving into foods and in breaking the cleanse.
Right.
So what's your thought on that, Lynn?
Well, I actually, you know, I'm taking a class in some holistic and herbal health, and the tongue is one of the things that they do touch on in there, and we haven't really talked in depth about that in my classes, but I've read a little bit about it, and there is a small, it's natural to have some white, especially towards the back of your throat. I mean, it's like a light coating. And
right.
Stephen Horn, it has some really good articles about the tongue and what it looks like. He puts out a newsletter called Nature's Field. So, you know, I would encourage people, if you want to know a little bit more about that, to, you know, look him up at stephenhorn.com. And, you know, they can learn a little bit more about the tongue and what its natural color is and what it looks like and what different things do. Because I watched on the, not so much this cleanse, but the last cleanse, I watched as I was cleansing. I really paid attention to my tongue. And as it started, the cleanse started bringing up the toxins and releasing the toxins, my tongue really did some funny, funky kind of stuff. And it was really fun, actually, to watch how it all came down and what it did and how it cleared out. And, you know, just to notice the taste in my mouth and, you know, just, you know, it was a whole new process of becoming aware of my body, you know, through that. And, it's good to know. It's good for people to understand their body. But yeah, there's a lot of detail to working with the tongue and using it as a barometer. So
in a way, you're saying that we don't. It's not like the tongue has to be completely solid pink. It's natural to have a little bit of that in the back.
It does have a slight coating. And Stephen Horn does, like I said, in his news articles. He does a really good job of describing it. But overall, I mean, when you look at your tongue, it should be a nice, healthy pink color. Not too red, not pale. And he does a really good job. There's actually two newsletters that he did back-to-back. He's divided it into two sections, and he talks about that. But it's like mine, when I did the cleanse, especially the first couple of days, it got really, really thick, white, all over the tongue, and I mean, at some point it almost took on like this little grayish kind of white hue, really thick coated.
Right.
You know, gross when you think about it, because this is your mouth, you know.
Right.
But it was really, I was glad I had read Stephen Horn's articles before, because it just really gave me a guideline. The tongue, that's a good point to bring up, because it can actually preoccupy you on the cleanse when you're kind of feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know, am I going to make it through these 10 days? And then you start looking at the outward signs of your body and say, yeah, I can make it through this 10 days, get this stuff out of my body. That was a good thing to bring up.
Well, that's good. And now for everyone who started late and started after the holiday, because I know some people were looking at the Easter holiday weekend and everything, so they started after a couple days. So that really you're only looking at being in the middle of it. And he does really recommend not stopping at 4 and 5 days. So you don't want to be ending it because you feel like no one else is doing it with you, because it's not benefiting you. Because you are just now to the point of the body's healing process kicking in. So then you would be just stopping in the middle of its start.
Right. Right. And he did talk about that. We did have someone ask about that, you know, was there a benefit to a shorter cleanse? And he did explain that Stanley Burroughs had been given this information. You know, basically what he was saying, for those of you that missed that subtlety, was that this was a divinely intuited, you know, message from God, the Creator, however you want. And here, you know, on the Honoring Hour, we're really, you know, we're open to all walks of life and all religions and all beliefs. And, you know, so whatever your system of belief is, that's where he got and intuited this information. And I know for myself, I really found that there was a lot of changes going on for me around day 4 and 5. And, you know, 6 and 7 brought, you know, a whole new experience. And I specifically did it the first time, because I wanted to clear out my liver, I had started to get some hormonal imbalance and really felt that my liver needed supporting. Mm-hmm. And that 4 and 5 day period was really a major turning point for me, and things really started to shift after that time. However, going through, you know, to the end of the cleanse really was like a smoothing out period for me, especially the first time. Now, I did find that this cleanse was not as easy for me to do as the other time we did it. How about you, JR?
Well, I didn't go into it, you know, focused at all. I mean, it was rough for me. I didn't, because, you know, like I told you last week, I had my first cleanse, I was doing like just health shakes and one meal a day, you know, and then a couple days before I was down to soups, and then the night before was just broth. So I really went into it, and spiritually I went into it emotionally, you know, set for it and balanced. And this time I thought, you know, well, of course, you know, and that went, you know, well. So this time, you know, I didn't get as focused, and I had a lot, you know, and that's when we're looking at my schedule. I had a lot, you know, planned, so mm-hmm. I didn't have the quality time to contemplate it and go into it well. So it was rough. It was rough for me the first couple days this time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, so and that just makes us, you know, realize and look at how we live our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're living our life just diving into things, you know, it's going to be hectic and it's going to seem chaotic at first, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, so it just comes down to, you know, really bringing presence into our lives and into, systems like this cleanse and stuff.
Right. I agree. Yeah, I definitely did not, even though I knew the cleanse was coming, I had, you know, a lot of things that were going on that had deadlines. They had to be taken care of, you know, in this amount of time. And it was all leading up and surrounding the time that I was going to start the cleanse. And it just took my focus away from really taking care of myself. So, yeah, I definitely found this cleanse much different in terms of my tolerance for it in the beginning to be exceptionally different. So that's one of the things I would like for people to understand if they're listening to this, is that the cleanse doesn't have to be a sense of deprivation. I mean, I've heard that from some people that were doing it. They felt like they were being deprived, or, you know, they wanted to do the cleanse, but it's not about deprivation. You can have as much lemonade as you want. It's just about clearing out the body, and we can love ourselves through that process. And one of the ways to do that is to actually prepare and get yourself geared up. If you're having, you know, a big old steak and potato dinner the night before, and then you're expecting to go on a liquid diet, then that is, you know, good for you for enjoying that meal, but it's not necessarily in preparation. It's an extreme change. And the body does not really like to do extremes. It will only speak to you in extremes if there's a problem and it needs to get your attention. The body really appreciates subtleties more. So, you know, have that steak dinner and enjoy it, but then give yourself, you know, a couple of days to a week to graduate into some lighter vegetables and fruits and stuff like that, and kind of go that direction. That worked for me. Like JR said, he did the shakes to kind of prepare himself for that. So, you know, there's probably a million different ways to prepare. And again, we invite you to share that information, because, you know, we hope that people come and listen to these archives later on that are looking for some help and they're looking for some ideas. And we, you know, trust that our listeners out there really have valuable information to offer. Again, remember, this is your show, so we want to hear from you too.
Yeah, I'd like to actually hit on Tom Walsh, and he also has another book, and it's called Beyond the Master Cleanse. And in it, what he does in it is he actually gets into us. I mean, it's not like you have to completely just end the cleanse now, because when you look at, is, you know, like I had a hard time with coffee, coming off coffee when I ended that cleanse. And it's like he mentions that some people, you know, after the cleanse never have coffee again. They actually, what they do is replace their morning coffee with the morning lemonade. So, you know, because you're looking at the lemonade drink actually brings more, help alkalize the body more. Mm-hmm. So, and those detoxifying properties, what you're doing is you're looking at introducing that as an ongoing daily morning process,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you just introduce your foods, you know, for, you know, your later in the day and evening. Because you have to look at, and everyone knows it, especially here in the West, we're overfed and undernourished. I mean, we're just soaking in foods that have no nutrients to them, and we think, our belief is because of that conditioning that we have to consume so much to live and exist, and that's not so.
Right. It's that whole concept. We think that we are full because we feel heavy. And it's not so much that we're looking for that heavy sensation, we're looking for that nutrient factor. But our foods are hollow. Even, you know, even foods that are touting themselves and proclaiming to be good, healthy sources of foods, they're still carrying some of the products that give ourselves, that give our bodies the sensation of being heavy. If we are eating a food that's not good for our, that if we're eating a good food that our body can't assimilate or doesn't like or, you know, doesn't need the nutrients to, then, you know, that's not a food that our body, that's supporting our body, and our body has to sort that differently and deal with that differently. So, you know, what works for some and is healthy and good for some is not always healthy and good for another. But we really have got a lot of choices here in the United States and in all civilized nations, honestly, that just are not the best choices. We've got to go back to really taking a look at, you know, what works for us. And for me, I know that, you know, once I've done this cleanse, I look at, okay, I just spent 10 days drinking lemonade, and I wanted to really enjoy and appreciate food. And I believed for myself after the first cleanse that I was not going to go back and eat, you know, junk food again. And then, of course, when I got caught up and started getting caught up in deadlines and it was quick fixes, and I was reaching for, I'm a healthy eater anyway, so I was reaching for, you know, healthier alternatives. However, I was still reaching for some processed alternatives. There's still a processing that occurs with this health food as well. And I noticed my body shifting, and I had to remind myself that I hadn't wasted that 10 days of lemonade, that I had learned a valuable lesson. And so, you know, I do plan on making some serious changes long term and not getting into the habit of relying on, you know, boxed foods to help me out. That's one of the things my body is saying to me is, you know, just really get more back to nature. Your body may be saying something different, but, you know, I've done this cleanse wanting to really make shifts in my life. And other people do it for different reasons. Some people do it for weight loss, you know, and that's completely okay too.
Yeah, Lynn, I would like to take a moment to ask anybody, if you haven't signed in yet, to blog in any questions, to go ahead and do that as a reminder. And for anyone who's called in who actually is not on their computer right now, that call-in number is area code 347-838-8944. Again, that's 347-838-8944. Because we'd love to hear some of your comments on your experience with this cleanse and how, you know, and how you see yourself moving forward with it, and any changes that you may be making with your diet, you know, going forward. You know,
right.
A lot of people actually tend to break away from eating as much meat, you know, especially beef. It's one of the hardest things for the body to break down.
Right.
Now, Lynn, I'd like to ask you about... I'm one of those people who just, I seem to believe that, you know, coffee's what actually gets me to moving, to put it, in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And with using the smooth move tea and everything, that has really helped. But so really, if I don't see myself, you know, you know, for those out there who decide that they just may be breaking away from coffee, is it just more fiber and water, or, you know, everyone, Lynn gave an awesome presentation reflecting Earth Day the other day, and she mentioned aloe vera gel.
Yeah, aloe vera juice. The truth is that the clearer our bodies are, the more energy that we have. So the less toxins mm-hmm. our bodies are having to deal with, the more energy we're going to have. And one of the problems mm-hmm. that we have here in this country is, you know, we've got people that are not eliminating properly. And I went through a period after my daughter was born where I was having a lot of issues, and I had a very respectable, very well-educated, top-notch doctor, and he's a gastroenterologist, and he said to me that, you know, the average person will have, you know, 7 days worth of waste in their body. And, you know, I always stop and tell people when I'm giving my talks that if you think about, would you carry 7 days worth of your garbage, your food garbage, in your 98.6 degree house? And you know, you're not going to do it. You think about that. You think about how hot 98.6 degrees is, and then you start thinking about all that rotting garbage. So why would you want that in your body? And the main thing that people need to do that a lot of people do not do is we need to drink more water, and we need to drink a good quality, good source of water. And if you are 150 pounds, you need to be drinking 75 ounces of water a day. You need to drink half your body weight in ounces of water. So that's going to be different for everyone. That's, you know, the big thing to do. And then, you know, a lot of people, there's a million different ways that you can cleanse your colon and you can start getting yourself to go to the bathroom or whatever. But after you first consider increasing your water, we still may need help, especially for people that have not gone regularly for a long time, people that do go regularly that just don't, they're not eliminating the foods that they've eaten in the last 24 hours. I mean, a lot of us are in that place. So I do suggest that they start off with aloe vera gel or aloe vera juice. And, you know, that works, sometimes it works a little too well for people, so you have to be careful. I always suggest you start off with a tablespoon at night and kind of seeing how that goes. And, you know, you can increase or decrease based on that. A tablespoon at night is not a lot for people.
So can I just add that to, like, my glass of water or some tea in the evening or something, or do I have to, like...
Oh, no. I would add it to your water. It's probably the easiest way to do it. Yeah. And what, you know, what the aloe does is not only is it helping you to eliminate, but it's also going to heal the lining of the intestines. And, you know, other people may need something a little bit more. They may need some fiber, but there's a lot of fiber products on the market that are actually kind of harsh. And it doesn't mean that they're not good, but for people who have had trouble going to the bathroom and that have not had the adequate water intake, adding a fiber product without drinking enough water and without soothing that intestinal lining may not be your best course of action. You want to heal the intestines as well, because what happens is we have that food sit in there, and it's no longer food, it's waste. Well, we have that sit in there, it starts to wear down the lining of the intestines, and then we get what's called leaky gut syndrome. And then you've got toxins reentering your blood and lymphatic system, and it's, you know, traveling around to the other parts of your body, none the less of which is your brain. So then you've got toxins that are being fed to your brain, because the nutrients would go to your brain, so the toxins are also going. So that's, you know, one of the things that we talked about there, and, you know, just in helping people go. You know, one of the things that the Master Cleanse does is it definitely encourages you to go to the bathroom, and it's imperative while you're on that cleanse that you are eliminating properly, because you've got to get the toxins out of your system. You don't want them circulating back around in your bloodstream.
Wow. So now, even if we're coming off the cleanse today or tomorrow, whatever it is, our bodies aren't, I mean, we're still in the healing process. It's not like we've stopped healing. And we're looking at years of healing. So really it's looking at moving forward. Do I want to dive into where I was and then start to attack the body again? Because basically that's what we're doing.
Right, right.
Or, you know, keep this presence and contemplate you know, how I'm treating my body going forward. So then we probably want to look at, you know, doing this process again, you know, reflect on, you know, how often we would want to, you know, kind of, you know, give our, you know, kind of like looking at your vehicle, you know, how long do you drive your car without, you know, wanting to give it a tune-up or an overhaul?
Well, if you want to keep your car for a long time, you know, you want to get regular maintenance.
Right.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you know, how old are we? And, you know, I mean, more and more people are living to be 100 every day. Okay.
Exactly.
But the thing is right now, when we're in the middle of, you know, we're in our prime is when we should be deciding how do I want to live that last 20 years,
right.
You know,
right.
in a facilitated home, you know, being taken care of or taking care of others.
Right. So we have a question. It says, with the saline flush, I work at night. Can I do the flush in the morning and go to work at night and not have to run to the bathroom? So the answer to that is you absolutely do the flush in the morning. As a matter of fact, you do the salt water flush first thing in the morning before you've consumed anything else, lemonade, anything. And then within about 45 minutes of beginning to drink it, I was starting to go to the bathroom. I did not need the saline flush. As a matter of fact, the saline flush was way too much for my system. And the saline flush is really, you only need to do the flush if the laxative teas aren't working. And Tom did explain that the laxative teas are important because our body, our intestines are not getting that signal to start to contract. And the laxative teas are actually the message for that. And what he suggests and what Stanley Burroughs suggested is that you drink the laxative tea before going to bed. And the reason for that is because, you know, it gets into your system and it's a gentle thing, and then in the morning you're going to the restroom. Senna.
Well, now I thought, because, see, I was doing it at night and in the morning.
Right, and you can.
Right.
They suggest,
yeah. Okay.
You know, that
yeah.
You can do it again in the morning if the tea at night is not working by itself. So the Senna, which is what the ingredients is, and the Smooth Move tea, which is from, I believe, traditional medicine, most of the laxative teas have Senna. And Senna is one of the real, you know, power acting. It's one of the harder herbs that that gets you going. Cascara Sagrada is a really good alternative, although finding teas with Cascara Sagrada are a little bit more challenging. They're usually, a friend of mine actually has it in a detox tea, although I don't know what the name of the detox tea is. A Tai Chi instructor gave it to her, but she had a lot less problems than I did, you know, and this time I went and actually got Cascara Sagrada, just the plain herb, and made my tea from the capsule and had a much gentler experience than my experience with the Senna. My body's super sensitive, so if you're finding that you have a super sensitive body, you might want to look at the differences between there. But the saline flush is for those who are really having challenges. It might be a good idea to do the first day of the cleanse to kind of help you going through. I believe Tom says in his book that he does it on day one and then again, I don't know if it's day three or day seven, but he doesn't do it every day. He's got certain days in the cleanse that he does it just to kind of help make sure, but he does not do the saline flush every day. But, yeah, the saline flush is definitely not something you want to do later in the day, and it's certainly not something you want to do after you've consumed anything.
Now, I've known of people who actually had, they said they had a bad reaction with the saline salt flush.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from what I'm gathering is they had gotten information over the Internet, and they were thinking it was like 2 tablespoons of salt versus 2 teaspoons, and then their direction was to guzzle it. Okay, now, see, when I had no issues with it at all. It was very calming for me. I actually sipped it as if it were, you know, a broth or brine, you know, with the salt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you want to look at, go by, you know, I'm hoping everyone has the book, because you're not going to get, you know, 100% of the information over the Internet.
Right, and really, you know, what I've found, there's so many things about the Master Cleanse on there, and there's so you know, there's so many different inputs. And, you know, one of the reasons that I was really happy to have found Tom's book was because not only did he study with a man who had studied directly with Stanley Burroughs, but he also studied with Stanley Burroughs, and he did work when Stanley was sick. It describes in the book when he was sick, Stanley actually called Tom to come and do some of Stanley's own maneuvers and work with him. So Tom went down and helped Stanley through a time of crisis. So this is not a person who, you know, just picked it up and likes it. This is a man who's lived it for 30 years, and he lived through part of it with the man who came up with the cleanse. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do. I've even read where people continue to eat on the cleanse. And, you know, I think that they're probably still cleansing. However, I don't know that they're doing the master cleanse at that point. But any type of cleanse is better than no cleanse, in my opinion. So, you know, that's something that you may want to consider.
Now, after the cleansing process, and the day of juice, and he gets in to the fourth day after is when you can start adding, you know, your regular foods and stuff. He really highly recommends the more raw foods, the better on our bodies, because it breaks down better. And he's talking about, you know, raw vegetables, juices, and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, we want to try and consume a lot of the products that are in the foods that alkalize the body, like apples, apricots, carrots, cauliflower, you know, and we want to stay away from consuming, you know, or not consuming, but we want to stay away from having the abundance of our food being, you know, all baked goods or all flour goods, you know, stuff that just really back the body up.
Right. Right, and some people, you know, some people are not ready for a raw foods diet. A raw foods diet is very, very cleansing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great way to get on board. However, I know that, you know, my body, I've had some digestive issues, and I have to be careful in making sure that I can digest what's going on. And when my body's stressed, I can't do a lot of raw foods. I have to be careful because my body's using up its energy dealing with stress, and if I am not careful, I won't break down the nutrients in order to absorb them. So even just a little bit of steaming or blanching of vegetables, which is just boiling some water, throwing the vegetables in, immediately dumping them out and cooling them off to stop the cooking process, even that helps to break down that outer layer of cellulose so the body doesn't have to do that. And then you're still getting a crunchy vegetable, like if it were, you know, celery or carrots or anything, you're still getting that crunchy vegetable, but that outer layer is helped to break down. It's true that, you know, a raw vegetable and its outside layer contains the most nutrients. But if we can't absorb those nutrients, it doesn't do us any good. So, you know, that's one of the things that we'll have to look at. And, you know, ultimately, I hope that everyone starts eating better and taking care of themselves. And, you know, I have selfish reasons for that, because the more that other people are taking care of themselves, the better off this world is going to be. And I don't think that that's, you know, a destructive selfishness on my part. I think it's a constructive selfishness. And I'd like to see everyone, you know, take on that attitude that they're helping people make better decisions and by setting an example.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about this cleanse, is because it's helped break a lot of the cravings that we have had for carbs and the sugars and the, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that, you know, for, you know, over this week, you know, we've been able to exist on lemonade. And you know what? How much more energy have we had? You know, how, you know, I mean, and we feel full. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when I came off of my first cleanse, I mean, the portions that I consumed in eating were minuscule compared to the plates that I ate prior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually even went to a restaurant with some friends that was a buffet, you know, and of course they were, you know, it was one of those, you know, all you can eat buffet type, you know, things, and they had their plates of food, and it's like I had a plate, you know. And the thing is when I had came back to the table with it, you saw my plate. not a mound of flesh and, you know, food that needed to be, you know, gobbled down.
Right.
But, you know, we realized that, you know, we can live lighter and eat lighter.
Right. Well, you know, every 2 to 3 hours is an ideal time to eat. And people think, oh, my gosh, if I ate like that, I'd be big as a house. But it's not about eating, you know, a mound of food on your plate. It's about eating enough to sustain your body, which doesn't have to be a lot. You know, when you're eating every 2 to 3 hours, an apple can satisfy a large man. My husband, you know, went on, you know, he changed his eating. He needed to do some cleansing and do some different stuff. And in 3 weeks, he lost 36 pounds, was healthy as he's healthier than he's been in a long time, and he ate every 2.5 to 3 hours. And I was reminding him, and it got to the point where he'd literally eat 2 or 3 strips of a pepper. We'd take a pepper and cut it up into strips, and he'd eat 2 or 3 strips of pepper and be like, I can't eat anymore. I just don't want it. I'm done. And he had energy. He was sustained. But with the cleanse and drinking the lemonade, for me, I was really elated because I've always wanted to be able to pop out of bed and be a morning person. And I'm just not. I'm more of a night owl. I like to get up early, but I don't get moving early. I like that to be a quiet, reflective time. But, you know, I just love the idea of getting up and, you know, listening to the birds and just being more of a morning person. And on the cleanse, I was getting up early, and I had tons of energy. And, you know, one of the beautiful things was is I wasn't dead tired at 8 or 9 o'clock at night either. I, you know, could go until 10 or 11 o'clock easily and probably later, but I was making sure that I was, you know, doing my best to get 8 hours of sleep. But I was not needing even 8 hours. And I'm not that type of person normally. Normally, I'm a good, solid, give me that 8 hours minimum, you know, more if I can eke it in. So, you know, and for women out there that are thinking, well, I want to, you know, plan this so I'm not doing it on my cycle, you know, I'm here to tell you that it's actually helpful. If you can cleanse when you're on your cycle, you're fine. The cravings aren't there. You know, the maple is nice and sweet. The lemonade takes care of your hormones. It's helping to regulate the hormones, which is also helping to regulate those cravings. Because the liver's not worried about cleaning out a bunch of stuff you're putting in it. So it's, you know, it's always a good time to start the cleanse. So,
you know, when I, you know, it just keeps coming to me, and I'm thinking about, you know, all, and we're all understanding the, you know, the care that we should take about what we're putting, you know, consuming through the mouth in our bodies. But, you know, and I'm also looking at, you know, and we've been detoxifying what we've been sticking in our bodies for years, but we're also detoxifying and releasing stuff, topical creams and other stuff that we actually are consuming in our bodies. When we put creams on our bodies, facial skincare products and stuff that are loaded with, you know, some of these toxins that we've been, you know, talking about for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really have, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this is a process that makes you start to look at these other things and take care to, you know, not only what I'm, you know, eating, but what I'm consuming through my skin. You know, we want to be reflective of these things. And, you know, and not only that, we also want to look at, you know, coming off the cleanse that we've been detoxing, but we've also, you know, we're getting into a phase where a lot of people are going to become more active and release old energy. So you're going to be detoxifying a lot of old stuff.
Right.
You know, when people talk about spring cleaning. So probably, and he gets into it in his book, is looking at, you know, I mean, if you don't have a regular exercise regimen, you know, think of some light yoga or Tai Chi, you know.
You know, there's when we do our retreats, one of the things that I introduce people to is Edgar Cayce had some really easy exercises to do. And a man down at the Cayce Institute by the name of Peter Van Dam, he compiled those and actually has a DVD out. But if you ever attend anything at the Casey Foundation at ARE, he will be there in the mornings, and he'll take you through those exercises, and he gives you a sheet of paper describing how to do them. They are so easy, and they're it's amazing that just in their simplicity how much they work the body. And for people, I've had a lot of people lately that I've been working with adrenal fatigue, and it's hard with adrenal fatigue to begin to start to exercise again because, you know, your cortisol level is off balance and your adrenals are fatigued. And so when you exercise, it just throws you out of whack and it takes a lot out of you. But these exercises, I mean, you can do repetitions of three, and they're really simple. You can do them, you know, if you've got a bad back. You know, they're awesome ways to step in. You don't have to start out by jogging or running or lifting weights or doing anything really strenuous. And you don't even have to pay to go do it. It's something that you could, you know, the Casey information is you can find off of the internet. So, you know, it's a simple matter of just, you know, I tell people when they're really stressed and there's a lot of stuff going on and they don't have time, in the shower, if you're just raising up on your toes and coming down, that in and of itself is an exercise. Just a little bit of bouncing in place is exercise. It gets the lymphatic system moving and instead of keeping it stagnant, and it helps the body clear out and it helps the body be healthy.
Wow. You know, actually, I want to take a moment here to extend an invitation to everyone. Lynn has actually mentioned the retreats that she gives this information out. We are actually, we have a retreat planned for this fall, and it'll be at the end of September. So you'll want to check back to the Honoring Hour, our website, and we'll get the information on there. And anyone is welcome to contact us. And it's open to everyone, and the information will be there. But it's just the information that Lynn gives just in, you know, the Casey exercises and, you know, basic meditation techniques and stuff are just, you know, it's something to really, I mean, it transforms lives, and people's lives are affected at these retreats because you're able to step away from the mundane, everyday, everything that just consumes us and really reflect and see your true self.
Well, thank you, JR. And, you know, don't be modest, JR. We've done retreats where JR has done Reiki attunements that are absolutely awesome. And our next retreat will be September 17th through the 20th. It's going to be here in Virginia, centrally located about 50 miles south of D.C. and about 40 miles north of Richmond. So it's easy to get to, even to fly into. And again, we'll be posting more details and stuff on the website, and it will actually have a website of its own, the retreat will, that will be coming up. So, but there will be a link on the Honoring Hour for that. I did want to say, JR, you were talking about coffee, and coffee is something that, you know, I don't drink a whole lot of anymore, but I used to be a really huge coffee drinker, would drink it all day, and I love the smell of coffee, and I love the taste of coffee also. But I find that when I'm really wanting coffee, it's more so because I just, you know, it's a treat for me. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago, for me, it wasn't the caffeine at the time. It was the oils that came from the coffee. And I learned how to make cold processed coffee. What I did was I took a pound of my favorite coffee grounds, and I mixed them. I mean, I put them in a bowl, and I covered them with, I believe it's 12 ounces of water, and I can put the ingredients on the on our website to be exact. And I soaked it for 3 days, and then I took and I drained the liquid off, and I put it in a container, and I then had a coffee extract. And so I would heat water just like you would boil for tea, and I would make coffee from the extract. So I could make it as strong or as weak as I needed to. I have a friend, actually, who made the extract, and then she put it in ice cube trays. And she would just take and put the frozen little coffee ice cubes in bags because she didn't really drink a whole lot of coffee, but she had it there for her friends that wanted to drink coffee. And depending on how strong they wanted it, they, you know, use however many cubes that they needed to have it strong. And what that does is it takes the oils, or the majority of the oils, out, And it's helpful for people who have like gallbladder issues that don't produce enough bile to help break down, and they can enjoy the coffee on a different level. And it also acts in your body more like a fruit as opposed to an oil, and fruits are easier for our bodies to handle.
Oh, wow, that's great information to know. Yeah, I'll definitely put that on the website.
Yeah, I'll put that up. Matter of fact, let me
make
a note.
For all of us who, you know, have found that our bodies are sensitive to this stuff.
Right.
And the only reason we've been consuming it for so many years is that, you know, and specialists talk about, we get to a point where you no longer feel the pain, or our bodies become numb to the process because we've just beaten it up for so long. And then we go through a process of actual, real, you know, self innate healing. And then that sensitivity that we're feeling on day one or two of consuming something that we used to consume is because, you're looking at your body being renewed, so it's being affected.
Right, exactly. And that's one thing that, you know, Tom talks about in his book, and I have not read the other book, Beyond the Master Cleanse, but I'm sure it's equally as incredible. And, you know, if you allow yourself to really make the change during those 10 days, then it's not as hard to start giving up stuff. You've already given up things. And people think, oh, it's deprivation and I don't want to do this. And if you're finding that you're coming across it, that's probably more of an emotional body reaction than it is a physical body reaction. And you might want to look at that emotionally to see what's going on. But because there's a whole world of food out there that tastes good, and it does not have to be about deprivation. The body's not into deprivation at all. It really isn't into overindulgence either. That's more of our emotional body.
Yeah, in his book, Beyond the Master Cleanse, I think it's like chapter 4 or 5, or maybe where he gets into, eating your emotions, I think it's called, and addictions and emotions. And he gets into, and all of us were at points in our lives where we're just dealing with learning to release all this stuff versus, you know, trying to feel better by what I'm eating. Because chances are a lot of the feel-good foods that are in the market today are being sold to us by, you know, mass producers are not comforting for our inner systems.
Right.
To actually function and live on. Yeah.
Right. And most things are okay in moderation. I mean, there's very few things that are not okay in moderation. But if, you know, I love the new high fructose corn syrup commercials. And they're like, you know, and it's just like sugar, it's okay in moderation. But then if you go into your closet, your cabinet, and you start reading everything that you have, most of the stuff, and you know, unless you've already become really vigilant about it, but there's so much high fructose corn syrup in things. So it then becomes not moderated. It's, you're not now embellishing, you know, you're living that way. It's not something that you're doing in moderation. So, you know, it's not that you never can have, you know, an ice cream from your favorite ice cream parlor or anything like that. But, you know, when you're doing it as a treat, it's different from doing it regularly and all the time. And, you know, and you appreciate it so much more. And, you know, I've got kids that, you know, my daughter especially, you know, loves to eat good food. And my sister will take her to the grocery store and almost try to persuade her to pick foods that, you know, are kid-friendly and commercial, you know, that they're advertised on the commercials. And my child does not feel deprived by not having these things. And she will go over, much to my sister's dismay, and choose healthier foods. And if she likes them, she doesn't feel deprived. And she doesn't necessarily feel good when she eats this other stuff. So kids particularly learn to eat what is provided for them, and they learn to enjoy that. But if you were to leave a kid to its own vices, if a baby could fend for itself, it would choose healthier foods and stay in that vein, because it's got that innate wisdom to know where the nutrition is, where it is that it needs, what it needs. You know, and they do that anyway by showing us, you know, put me off of this formula or change this. You know, they're constantly talking to us, you know, through the way that their bodies are handling stuff. So it's our mindset that needs to be readjusted when we think we're being deprived by not having all the sweets and the treats and all that kind of stuff, the processed things. We really are not being deprived. Nature provides a plethora of good food for us.
Oh, yeah. You know, Lynn, in his book, Beyond the Master Cleanse, he ends the book about getting into, because when you're getting into the emotional aspect of it, and he gets into really looking at gratitude in our life. Because when we quit focusing on what we lack or what we don't have, and we're focused on gratitude, you know, and we see the beauty in that, and we're actually living with, you know, visualizations and affirmations in our life, we're not apt to try and fill our life with all the unhealthy.
Right, right. And there's more detailed information about that at a website called www.lightworkerscalltomastery.com. It's all one word, lightworkerscalltomastery.com. You know, where you can talk about the emotional body and the physical body and stuff of that nature, and just how to learn how to delineate between the two. So,
well, Lynn, it looks like we're at the close to the top of the hour.
We are,
and
I want.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, well, you know, I'll let Lynn close, but I just want to really thank everyone for going through this process with us and spending this time with us. And just, you know, embrace this new, healthy, feeling, clean, new you, and move forward in joy and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to you, or, you know, I will talk to you in a couple weeks, and many blessings to you all.
Great. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is Earth Day, so do something green for the planet. Do something good for yourself. We have upcoming shows. May 5th, we're going to have Susie Crows talking about kombucha. On May 19th, we're having Reverend Dr. Thelma Smith, she's a Science of Mind minister, talking about her book, The Parable of the Mayfly. June 2nd, we've got something different. Carol Elia, owner of Asslinger Labs, she has therapy dogs, and she works with children who have family members that are involved with hospice. So she works with children in grief with these therapy dogs. So that'll be interesting to learn a little bit about that. On June 16th, Melanie Yost is going to talk to us about essential oils. And on June 30th, Anne-Marie Gallant is going to talk to us about rolfing. So I want to thank you all for joining us today with the Master Cleanse, coming off the Master Cleanse discussion. We hope to hear back from you. We'd love to know what kinds of things you want to hear, talk about. It doesn't necessarily have to be about health. It can be anything you want to hear. We're open to that. And I want to thank Dana Agnellini for letting us use his music. And in honor of that, we are going to play his version of One Light at a Time that is sung by his daughter, Ariana. So please enjoy, and we will be back with you again in 2 weeks.